the players were all, there was this haunted house, and the uncle owned it, and at certain times of the year, these strange, you'd open the door to your room, and there would be a different hallway. It would be glowing blue, and there was things out there. It was kind of a gate to the other world or something. So they were trying to investigate this.
Yeah.
Okay? And what happened is some things came through the gates. And each time they encountered them, the things were more and more human. It's like they were trying to emulate the people. At first they were very strange, and they killed one of them and he was hollow inside. But every time they were more and more authentic. They were becoming
more human-like,
human.
Yeah.
Right. And so finally one day they decided that they better test everyone to see if they're make sure they're all human, just in case these things are infiltrated. So they tested all the servants, and they said, we better test ourselves too, what the heck. They stick a needle into one of the player's arms, and I say, there's no blood. And the player says, what do you mean there's no blood? You don't have any blood. He says, but look, I have a character sheet here. I'm a person. And the other players are all looking at him, and they're thinking I made some kind of deal with him. And I just looked at him and said, he's not, he's one of the things. He's like, no, I'm not. I know I'm not one of the things. I know I'm a person. Right. And they all, no one's untying him from the chair. Right. They're all staring at him. And the player was really disturbed. And what they all realized eventually is that the things had finally succeeded. They'd gotten to the point where they didn't know they weren't human anymore. And so they search the house and they go upstairs and they find the player's actual self knocked out and tied up in the closet. So they let him go. And he says, OK, I want to be that guy now, not this fake. I said, well, you can't. I mean, you are the fake. That's what, right? Wow. I know you'd love to be the real person, but you're just not. And oh my gosh, the adventuring part of the game ended right there. And the whole rest of the night, everyone was brooding and talking and wondering and trying to figure out what to do, you know?
That's
and they,
fantastic.
They found another player who was one of these things, and he was a little bit prepped by the first guy's experience. He said, oh my gosh, I'm one too. What are we going to do? And they said, well, should we help the monsters, the humans, you know? And I said, look, I'm not going to answer. They decided they were going to help the humans. In the final big pyroclastic blast at the end when they're driving a Chevy full of vats of kerosene into the cave and blowing it up. One of the replacement guys goes in with it to burn up. He's done, right?
Oh dear.
And the other guy turns to his real self and they say, look, I'll make a deal. I'll never cross the Mississippi in your direction. You never cross it in my, we'll divvy up the US and just never meet again. What do you say?
Home.
And they go,
that's
okay.
Right. Yeah. Oh wow.
They split up and then of course I had plans to use that guy later on to other players. And he showed up a couple times, but whenever he'd show up, they were never sure which one it was.
So wow, what an excellent story.
So that was pretty fun. And another story I've told a couple times, we were playing the game, and they were off in some, well, to us it was exotic. It was England, right? So a little English village. All English villages are quaint, as far as we know.
Oh, it's absolutely true. It's very exotic over here.
Sure. So they're off in this quaint English village, and they find out that in the old ruined castle, there's something really bad. It's very gothic seeming, right? And the bad thing was that there was these alien things that had seeped through from the other, you know, like it always is in Call of Duty.
Yeah.
So they decide they can't handle it alone, and they go to the locals, and they get the people to come with them. And so I'm hammering it up at this point, and the people are getting torches and those rake things and pitchforks. The players are thrilled by how easy the people are all going to go and take on the monsters.
It's so always we have torches and pitchforks, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess everyone in England has those things in their houses. So they're heading up the road with all the torches and rakes and pitchforks and things, and a couple of guys have shotguns probably, and they're going up the road, and it's this dark and stormy night and lightning flashes, and each of the players get individually notified that as the lightning flashes, they look around, they notice that whenever it flashes, they can see the true form of every single villager, and none of them are human. They're all alien things. Okay, only the other players are human. And at this point, the human, I gave it to them by sneak because they can't communicate with each other because they're standing in the middle of all these guys. Mm. So the humans are starting to say, the players are going, well, they're thinking to themselves, do they know they're not humans? Is it an illusion? Are they coming with us to kill us? What is, you know, what are we going to do? Yeah. How do we get away from these guys? You know, this is a real, and they were, and it was, again, that was a lot of fun because I let the players go ahead and, when the players reach some kind of conundrum like this in my games, which obviously comes up periodically, I let them go ahead and roll with it. And I don't force the situation by saying you don't have enough time to talk about it and making them fight. They just, so all the rest of the evening was, what the heck are we going to do?
Yeah.
They were thinking it was all hokey and just like an old Frankenstein movie, and all at once it all was changed. It was all something completely different and much scarier to them. They're like, oh dear.
Because you've taken the ground away from underneath their feet on, you know, what they expect and what they believe in that sense.
Right. So this other one of the other ones I offer scenarios is my Austrian ski vacation one.
Right.
And in this, I set it up, and they're in the ski lodge, and they meet the barmaid, and she's all buxom, and everyone likes her. And there's a couple Germans that are visiting too, and a couple bluff Englishmen that always argue over the cricket scores, and you know stereotypes are very important in role playing games. And they get to know the whole layout and who all the people are. And then they go to bed, finally. The very next morning when they wake up, not a single other person is there. They never see him again. And the bridge back over the chasm to the town is gone. And eventually they realize that something has gone wrong with the military experiment. And the army came in at the night, and it evacuated everyone and blew the bridge.
Wow.
But the players had arrived late, and basically the owner just forgot about them. They were in a different building. And they're stuck behind with whatever the experiment released. The players, all the stuff they were relying on, one of the players making plans to put moves on the bar. Always you have someone making plans to put moves on the barmaid, right? Other guys are trying to get to become buddies of the handyman because he's got a gun. They think they might need a gun in the scenario because it's a scenario you play at a convention, so it's probably going to be combat, right? And then when all that stuff is gone, it's really fun to watch the players start to scamper when they realize all they have to depend on is each other.